Spokane, Washington, May 1st through the 3rd. I'm going to be at the Spokane Comedy Club doing 5 shows. I love that town. I love that club, so I'm excited to get back. May 15th, I will be at the Egg in Albany, New York. So go get tickets at dansoder.com. May 16th, I'm going to be at the Flynn Theater in Burlington, Vermont. Burlington, I know you're a tiny, sleepy town, but I love coming and doing comedy there. So please buy tickets to see me at the Flynn May 16th. It's going to be a hell of a show. DanSoder.com for tickets. John Moses hosts a great podcast with Tyler Morrison.
Yes.
Fight Stories. You should check it out, especially if you're a pussy like me that doesn't like fighting but likes hearing about fights.
Yeah.
I mean, also, you're both Canadian, and Canadians, I would say, in this day and age, better at fist fighting than Americans. I think we're better at mass shootings. I think we're better at killing.
I think
we're better at killing people, Americans are, but I think you guys are better at just throwing hands.
I think the average Canadian, that might have some weight with the average Canadian.
Yeah.
But I think you're trained killers.
Oh, no. Our army's way better than yours.
Navy SEAL boys.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about like guy at a bar in America versus guy at a bar in Canada because of how much more important hockey is to you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see the actual statistics, but there's two things going for us. Hockey, which welcomes a fist fight. And,
legally allowed.
Right. With minor interference.
Also, you're fighting on skates.
Yeah.
So your balance is much better.
Right.
You're comfortable taking a punch. None of our sports match that.
And then the other thing is there's just not really ever a threat of being shot outside.
That's why you're so close to go to hands.
Yeah.
Because if you know you go hands, you go, worst case scenario, this guy's got a knife. And I'll hurry you go, that guy's probably got an AR-15.
Oh, man.
And enough bolts to take out this whole mall.
My road rage goes up like a solid 30% when I'm back in Toronto because I'm like, oh, we can take it to the street.
I love that. I love feeling of like, here, I'm fucking dangerous. And in America, you go, God only knows what they have under the seat.
Oh, my God, dude.
God only knows.
One of my last road rage incidents that I acted upon.
So you act on it. Because I'm in my 40s now. So what I do is in my 20s, I might have acted on it. In my 40s, what I do is I rage, I steering wheel punch.
Yeah.
And then I go like, I'm 40.
That's
I can't.
Probably a more, not the most mature.
No, not at all. It's not
but on a scale,
yeah.
It's approaching a more mature.
Where did this incident happen?
The Bronx.
Oh boy.
Well, that's what it was.
Yeah. You don't want to fucking, you know.
So somebody sideswipes me. And on the Cross Bronx Expressway, they just like leave. And I'm just like, I just feel helpless and I'm infuriated in that moment.
So you were in the car.
Yeah.
They hit you.
Yeah.
Pull off.
He doesn't like try to do anything or like there's none of that. And then, but it's like crazy traffic.
Yeah.
So I just jump out of the car and I'm like, bro. Come on. And he's like, blah, blah,
blah, blah. Yeah. I'm not Misner.
Yeah.
I have giant gun for you. I shoot you, you die.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, that's all I need to hear.
Well, he was just like not getting out, maybe drunk. And I'm boiling. And so.
Did you go for the door handle?
No, he drove off.
Okay.
So I got back in the car and followed for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just like in and out of the Bronx streets.
Right on him.
Yeah.
So he knew you were following him.
Yeah. And then at some point, like it dawns on me. I'm probably going back to this guy's house.
Oh, yeah. And he's on the phone.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, this is dumb. You know?
Yeah.
So at the next stoplight, I just got out and mule kicked the driver's side door and completely caved it in.
Rational. Effective. What did he do when you did that?
He's just like,
yeah, that's great.
And then I was like, now we're even.
Yeah.
And I just felt
that's
like.
So funny. I'm at, thank you. Namaste. You give him a namaste after you fucking horse kick his door.
Yeah.
You go, God, blessed be you. Yeah. And he's like, this man is crazy. You were probably like, right. He was probably going home.
Yeah.
Probably had people waiting.
Maybe.
Probably someone getting a gun. God only knows what was happening.
That at least.
The second you horse kicked his door, he was like, oh, this guy's a fucking problem. It might have switched the whole thing, but then now you're free of the anger.
Yeah.
And this guy might have been terrified. We don't know, but there's a chance that he might have been like, if this guy's willing to, he was following me, then he horse kicks.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. Like,
Rose was already leaving, but you know what? That guy might have been like, he was demonstrating very little English abilities in that moment. I'm sure he pulled it back a little.
Yeah, yeah. He's I can't believe I sideswiped him. And then you go on, he's like,
I don't know why I did it.
If I tried doing that, if a guy...
Yeah, you gotta go straight French, dude.
Merci. Merci, I do not know what I am saying. Oh,
sacre bleu. Guy picks the wrong accent. Do you know what you do? I go, I don't know why I did that. You go, you're not fucking Mexican? You're like, okay, nice try, I did know what I did. Yeah. I did. Nice dude, try. That's all road rage takes is one. You know the game show where they press the button and they go no whammies, no whammies, no whammies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A whammy is like a super dangerous person.
Yes,
you could get a whammy.
Yeah,
Big J does that. Big J will pop out of his car.
Yeah,
and me Lewis tells him not to, and Lewis is the biggest psycho I know. And he's like, you don't want to do that because you're right. You get the wrong fucking guy. And how many people have you had on Fight Stories that talk about the worst fight is probably picking the wrong guy?
Oh, dude.
The wrong guy.
So, classic example, and I think this incident happened after I've heard this story, but anyway.
Yeah.
Buddy, somebody did a road rage on Ken Shamrock.
Come on. Yeah, dude. So, I mean, literally in the WWE called the most dangerous man in the world.
Yeah, UFC.
He was the first UFC. Two,
yeah.
Yeah.
One,
he was Jack. Dude, he was nuts.
Just a sheer nightmare.
That's and there are, like, you don't know, but there are people. Right. Like, Stipe Miocic is driving around Cleveland.
100%.
You fucking run into him.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, he's not an active UFC fighter, but he has the record for most heavyweight title defenses.
Yeah.
It's like when people wanted to shit talk Brendan Schaub for doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Fine. Also remember, he's a UFC fighter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he'll get his hands on you and fuck your shit up. But that's the way.
This ain't the comment section, bro. This is brother, IRL.
This is in person. And that's what it is. I think with, like, road rage, as someone that feels road rage, I'm always very aware.
Yeah.
But you being Canadian, you're right. You're like, Americans, guns are a big thing. When I lived in Arizona.
That's it. Ken Shamrock is still only going to knock you out, maybe pop a couple teeth out.
Yeah, he might break your orbital bone.
Sure.
This guy's going to kill you.
This, a couple months ago, somebody got shot over a road parking space, New York, somewhere.
You hear about that all the time. Yeah. When I lived in Arizona, I was very... New York and Arizona are about the same level of worry about a gun.
Yeah.
Because Arizona, you can just buy a gun on your way to the grocery store.
Yeah.
So you have no idea who's just got a fucking hand cannon in their truck and just put a hole in your chest.
Right.
But it is with road rage. Road rage would be fun if you were like Hoist Gracie, like very unassuming.
Yes.
Just like a guy where you're like, I don't think you should do that. And they're like, fuck that. And then you're like, and then you fuck their shit up.
Yeah, they see that like that. I don't think you should do that. And they're like, oh, yeah? And then they elevate and ramp up.
Just start undoing their like dress shirt. Yeah. And they're like, you're not going to like the way that goes. That's the kind of badass. Well,
buddy, that's the thing about like doing, you know, fight stories for as long as we do it. It's like there's two things you learn. It's like, don't underestimate anybody. And the second thing is, it's like, if somebody acts that calmly, you got a problem.
Dude.
You got a real problem.
I truly think that's the most badass thing anyone can do is not talk shit, but like just be like calm.
Yeah.
In a moment where there's going to be violence and they just go like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's not me, dude.
Yeah. Because your calmness is like, you know how people always go like, I could never do stand up. You guys go talk in front of an audience.
Right.
You learned how to get through that as you've done it.
Right.
They've learned how to get through that by fighting.
Right.
Like, their whole thing is fighting.
Yeah, it's just a quiet confidence that you get through doing the thing over and over and over.
Maybe we start lying. Maybe we learn how to be calm, and then someone just adds, because that kind of guy getting just absolutely destroyed, going, okay, we'll fight, and then someone's just on top of him, and you're like, oh, you broke my fucking nose!
No ability to block that first shot.
You're just crying. Someone's just fucking wailing on you.
Because that's the other thing. It's like, if you're not a trained fighter, you know, I don't know what the percentage is, but most of the time, guy who throws the first one is going to win that bout.
I've noticed, you know? I mean, Have you ever on Fight Stories tracked someone down that you've seen fighting on an internet video?
No.
That's a Patreon episode, brother.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because like,
we want that.
You see guys sometimes when I watch like internet, like videos on Reddit or Instagram or whatever, when they're fighting.
Yeah.
It's the guys that go over the top and with straights that always land the most. The guys that do the big wind up and they always miss, throw their bodies around. But the dudes that come in straight and over the top, they just land a lot. It's just volume.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed by that. That calmness, accuracy, all that shit in fights, I'm always like, I would have none of that. I would just be over-emotional and just fucking throwing my weight around.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I say this all, and, like, I am still, like, I mean, I'm not, I don't want to say I'm a, but I don't know how to fight.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not a fighter. I've just been in a lot of fights.
Yeah.
I know I can survive getting punched in the mouth.
Yeah. You know? Which I also think is a great life skill. Just knowing that you can get fucking blasted in the face and keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you'll shake it off.
Because people go like, whoa. Like, there's been someone that's hit you that's seen you take that punch and gone like, fuck.
Yeah.
This is not going to be an easy day.
Right, right. Or if like, if you're getting hit and you can still like sort of think in the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's beyond, that's like when you're bombing and you can get out of it.
Right.
When you're like in the moment, you go like, what am I doing? I'm bombing. And then everyone goes like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like right. In a fight where you're like, put your hand up and then you block it and you're like, oh, that worked. Yeah. I would be more amazed. That would fuck me up.
Yeah.
I'd go, it worked. Yeah. And I'd
look at it. In the celebration, you're getting hit again.
I go, oh, I parried that. Fucking smash my face.
Yeah.
But I'm like, back to the calmness thing. One time Katie and I were driving to Boston for Thanksgiving, where her family is, and we were going up the West Side Highway. It was just bumper to bumper traffic, like up in the 90s, up in the hundreds or whatever, and there was an exit ramp, and these two guys were like obviously talking with their cars, and this guy fucking,
and it's like typical New York
like, it's just people do that, and they like, and then they're like windows down, they're fucking yelling at each other, but this dude cuts this other guy off. This guy goes on the off ramp and I'm like, oh, he's had enough. Pops out of his car with something, and then he just shatters the dude's back window. He had like a piece of metal that went in, and he just like, how quickly and efficiently, and I mean, Katie and I were right behind it, so we were like, whoa! Like, he like did it. We were like, damn!
Yeah.
And then he got in and drove, and Katie was like, drive, drive, drive. I'm like, why? He left.
Yeah.
There's no problem anymore. The guy that was the problem left.
Yeah.
But he did it so calm that you're like, that guy who got his window smashed, he got out lucky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that guy was, God only knows what he's willing to do.
Oh, yeah.
If you're calmly.
Yeah.
You wonder if just someone was in the car and he goes, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that place is still open. He gets back and he goes, okay, you want to see if they're open? And you're like, holy shit. Holy shit.
Dude. Whatever, whoever you're with, like in that moment, like if I was with my girl, I'd be like, because I'm such a shit talking.
Yeah.
You know, like tough presenting.
I present tough.
Yeah, yeah. She would be like, oh, you fucking loser.
Yeah,
even
you go, okay, but I can't. What do you want me to do? Chase a car? You're like, you start, you turn that anger towards them.
Oh,
what do you want me to fucking do? I can't fucking chase a car.
Well, that's that.
Yeah.
I don't want to get deported over this.
Have you had anyone on Fight Stories that has like had reach out and been like, hey, you got to omit a big part of that because of legal things?
So yeah, we always have that. We always have that, discussion up front.
Okay.
We're like, hey guys, you just might want to think about the statute of limitations.
Is this an assault?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them are.
Yeah. Every fight's an assault. Yeah,
most of my stories are assaults.
Yeah. You guys know I travel nonstop. Sometimes you get into a cab when you get to an airport and you're like, hey, take me there. And then you're like, uh-oh, I don't have any cash. How the hell is this guy going to take my charge? Then he busts out Square and you're like, oh, here we go. Boom. I know this is going to be taken care of because that Square, it always reads my credit card. It always works. Well, I'm talking about Square. I'm talking about the actual Square. One of the first things I noticed about Square, how easy it is to use. Running a business has got to be insane with all the moving parts. Well, Square helps simplify that. The hardware looks polished, fits right into your space without feeling intrusive, and the software is incredibly straightforward and intuitive. You don't need special training. You just set it up and boom, start taking payments quickly. If you have a business or stuff where you sell merch or anything like this, I can't recommend it enough. Square supports all major credit cards and payment methods, including contactless options like Apple Pay, Google Pay. Checkout is fast and easy for your customers. And Square's designed for businesses at every stage. If you're just getting started, looking to grow, it just got the tools to give you both without making things more complicated than they need to be. Square keeps up so you don't have to slow down. Get everything you need to run and grow your business without any long-term commitments. And why wait? Right now, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/soder. That's square.com, square.com/go/soder. So that's square.com/go/soder. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today. Yeah. That's what's crazy about a fight is you can lose a fight, right?
Yeah.
And you could feel shame or whatever. But then there's just an extra level of if you lose a fight, you get beat up and you go, I want the police involved. Because then you go, well, now the respect is gone.
Oh, exactly.
I can understand someone taking a beating.
Yeah.
I can understand someone lying about it.
I can understand, you know, you getting into a fight with somebody and then like you see these like these videos on Twitter and like the guy goes down and like you see a hit or two more and you're like, okay, okay. And then you see like four, five, six, seven, eight. You're like, oh, come on, man.
That was every world star fight watching.
Ugh, dude.
Where you go, he's out. Oh,
yeah.
Or like a stomp.
Oh,
where you're like,
yeah.
Come on.
And it's those situations you're like, well, the police should be involved.
Yeah.
Dude.
Now I want the cops involved. This is us being white. We just go like, hey, now I need to call a police officer. That's not cool.
I know.
Just that fucking, those stomps, that last punch. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes when you see it, you're like, oh, fuck. But you also know that has, listen, I'm not saying it's okay for those of you at home. But I am saying, it has to feel kind of good. Just that one over the top where you're like, done, and you go like, one more for me.
Yeah, one more.
And then you're like,
listen, I can, one more for you I can get with.
One more for me.
The multiple murderous ones.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've seen the one more. Yeah, like, he goes down, you're like, okay. And then you see like one, you're like, okay. And you see another one, and you're like, and then it's like seven after that, dude. The guy's like, you're going
to
kill him.
And then you want someone around to go, well, now I want to see that guy get beat up.
Yeah.
Because now you're the villain.
Yeah.
You won, and now I fucking hate you, which is, you know, that's how fights work.
So I used to host this amateur strip contest in the Bronx.
Dude, you used to go up every Friday night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't it every Friday?
Friday morning, probably. Yeah. 2 a.m.
I would see John out, and you would be like, we'd be at like Broadway or like or fucking Stand Up New York or something, and you'd be like, yeah, I got to go.
Yeah,
it would be like I'd be going home,
yeah,
and you'd be like, I gotta go host this thing up in the Bronx at the strip club, yeah. And I'd be like, and then when you told me you were starting a fight podcast, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, this is a guy who goes to the Bronx fucking Friday night at 2 a.m.
Yeah, yeah, comfortably. We heard the gunshots out of there outside. We heard gunshots, and then two chicks were running. They're like, they're shooting.
Yeah,
and then we're like, oh, and me and my buddy Dino, where we just stood there for a minute, and I was like, I don't hear anymore, man.
That's so funny. Like, well, clearly they're gone. Yeah. The gunshot stopped.
Yeah. And then we went in. The club was just like in full on part. Like nothing happened.
That's so funny. Like it's a bird. You go, well, it flew away. I don't hear it anymore.
Yeah. Like the guy in the car gunshot. Yeah. He's like, they're gone.
Because
the problem is left.
Yeah. The problem just.
But like, and there would be like, that was like a B-list black celebrity like hang out on that night.
Oh really? Like who would come in there?
Like you'd see French Montana before he like blew up.
Yeah.
Did he blow up?
He did. He was like a big hit. There.
That was Cardi B stripped at that strip club.
Oh really?
Yeah. We were there regularly.
Okay.
You know, but like
that is so funny that there's like venues are venues.
Yeah.
So like when you go into a venue sometimes they'll be like, you know, Charlie Parker played here. And you go, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And you go, you know, Cardi B used to slap her pussy on that stage.
Yeah.
You go, fantastic. And that's Cardi B in the Bronx, messed up teeth before the fucking.
Yeah, yeah. No business believing in herself.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that's almost got to be motivational for you.
Yeah,
you're just there every night. You go, someone in here believed in themselves?
Yeah.
Fucking
but,
crazy.
You know, so other people, like, you would have like that's so, like Disney's That's So Raven.
Yeah.
She would like show up with somebody.
Raven Simone?
Yeah, Raven Simone.
Sick.
You know, the occasionally like the offensive line for somebody would show up.
Love it. Why would they go there? Was this place known as having like good strippers?
Yeah, yeah. It was like the spot. That place was printing money on a Thursday night.
Really?
Yeah. Mark Henry was there one night.
Shout out the world's strongest man.
And somebody went to the guy, Mark Henry, and went, "Oh damn, Kimbo Slice."
That's funny. That's very funny.
And the guy that did it was probably, you know, our height, but maybe a little bigger.
Yeah.
And Mark Henry went, "I ain't Kimbo Slice, but I knock motherfuckers out like him." And I watched this grown man wither.
Yeah.
In front of his,
yeah.
And then,
"I'm so sorry." Yeah. "I'm so sorry."
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was excited. He thought he was meeting a celebrity.
Yeah. Also, to call someone Kimbo Slice, it's not Kimbo Slice. You do that to a tiny blonde girl and you call her Ashley Olsen, not Ashley Olsen, you're fine. That's fine. Yeah. You're fine. If she goes, I am like, and you go, "Shut up." And that you go, "Sir, mountain of a man."
Yeah.
"I just want to apologize."
Yeah.
That's
security ran over, looked at the situation, grabbed the dude and threw him out.
So funny. That's always my favorite when security goes to somebody and they go, "Well, he's the real problem. So we're just going to deal with you."
Yeah.
This is a lot stickier.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll kick the fuck out of one of us.
Oh yeah. 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 This is going to be melee.
Were cops around a lot at this strip club?
Oh man. So I saw a guy, like a captain, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
He looked like he was dressed from like that Sky Captain, that Angelina Jolie. What was that? It was like a Sky Captain, whatever, a futuristic, you know, in place of that. Well, what was the Fifth Element? We'll say a captain from Fifth Element, boots up to his thighs, hat, you know, decorated. Accepting a puffy envelope.
Sick.
Right around Christmas.
Sick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sick.
And I was like, all right.
Cop's kid got a fucking PS5. Because that strip club was like, "You don't break us up at 4:30 in the morning."
Oh, yeah.
How late do they go there?
They probably.
What's the latest you've been there?
Well, I might have closed it once or twice.
Is that like 7 in the morning?
Nah, it was always 4. They kicked everybody out.
So they don't do like the after? Because strip clubs are infamous for getting away with like extra hours.
Yeah, these guys didn't do it.
Probably because there was a lot of heat to begin with.
Eventually they shut down, and it was for that type of stuff. There was like a full page, spread in the New York Post, like busted.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There wasn't enough envelopes to go around.
Yeah.
Eventually, somebody. Yeah.
You always wonder who's getting a taste.
Yeah.
Like NYPD, is it the city?
It was kind of nice to know like how things like that work. Like,
yeah.
I'm all about, you know, kickbacks and nepotism. I think.
Brother,
this country was built on that, man.
And also, you ain't gonna change it.
Yeah.
It's there. It's just how it works. Fucking congressmen, politicians are corrupt.
Yeah.
Everyone's corrupt.
Yeah.
But also, if you're opening a strip club, you probably go in that with like, "Well, we're gonna have to pay people off." Like, I have a feeling they don't go in there and go, "Everything by the book." They go, "We want this to be successful."
Yeah.
The penthouse on fucking West Side Highway.
Yeah.
God only knows how many cops they're paying.
Oh, sure, sure. How many friends in high places they got video of.
Oh, my God. Just a senator getting sucked off in a private booth.
And they him go, leaving at 2 a.m. on CCTV is enough. But yeah, they got that.
Yeah, but then if they got that, they go like, "Well, we're really okay."
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to know what they have on like a lot of these people, because they just go like, if you were brave enough of a senator to go, "I'm just going to tell my wife." And they go, "Fuck. Yeah. You got nothing on this guy."
Yeah, yeah.
You got nothing on him.
You treat that like the people like who've got pictures of you jacking off on the internet. You're like, go ahead, send it to everybody.
It's disgusting. That's the funny part about being a comic is you almost go like, if someone has something embarrassing on you, you go, "Release it. I'll do a bit about it."
Go ahead.
You just gave me work. And now I can use that as stuff.
I know.
I always think about that. I always think like when people have like, "Well, this person was going to blackmail me." If they're a comedian, I'm like, just do the thing.
Yeah.
You have the ability to say the thing that you're worried about not getting out is like a joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially if you're like a single guy or you're in a new relationship.
Yeah. If you have a family you don't want broken up, I get it.
Right, right. There's some pressure there.
Sure. But if you're like
on the fence about that family anyway.
Yeah. Looking for a way out.
Yeah.
That's so funny. They go, "I have this on you." He goes, "Brother, you picked the wrong guy."
Yeah, the wrong time.
He just shows your call log. It's all divorce lawyers. And they go, "Fuck."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Please, I might get out of this thing without paying any money." Yeah. Dude, going to that strip club, was there ever a moment where you're like, "I shouldn't fucking be here"?
Oh, man. So, back to the thing about like.
What was this place called?
Sin City.
Sin City.
Yeah.
In the Bronx.
You know, back to the thing about like us being white guys being like, oh, they shouldn't have stomped him like that.
Yeah.
So I was standing by the kitchen. I had that, like the guy who worked the kitchen, the chef, like we're still friends on Instagram. All like, oh, nice plates. He catered my Christmas party.
Really?
Yeah. So my ex-wife, like her mother-in-law's like, oh, this soul food's delicious. Where did you get it from?
That's great. Like,
club of the Bronx.
She goes, I am usually not a fan of collard greens, but these ones have snap to it.
Yeah. But there was a time like I was just standing there by the kitchen and it went on. I did that the first time I ever did it. I was like, they were like, oh, hey, we need a comic. Just go up and do some time. I'm like, I am not doing time.
Yeah.
That is the last thing I'm doing. I go, start the show. I'll find some funny in it somewhere. And then I would just roast the girls as they'd come on stage. Didn't matter how good. If she was perfect, I'd be like, but that toe.
That's great.
You know.
Did that ever get the strippers like into you? Were they like, cause sometimes hot girls, when you shit on them, they're like.
I mean, maybe. I mean, there were some like strippers there. Like when I first walked in, I was like, I would give anything to have sex with this woman.
Yeah.
And then like a month later, she's like, so are you going to ask for my number? And I'm like, I'm married. And
I went, I'm sorry. Please get away from me, Destiny. I'm so sorry. I love your giant ass tattoo, but please leave me alone. Yeah. Your food is too spicy. Yeah. Like trying for any excuse.
Yeah. And she's like, well, we can be friends. I'm like, I can't be friends with you.
I can't just do platonic relationship with a girl that you could put a drink on her ass.
Yeah. And they were like a lot of Dominicans. So you certainly could.
Yeah.
I say that. So, you know, it went for 6 years. And after every single time I was like, that has to be the last time this happens. It has to be.
Really?
You know, because it was, everybody's smoking weed and who knows what's happening in the back.
Yeah.
It just felt like, there just always felt like a general danger in the air, you know?
I would say that's a lot of strip clubs. Ugh. I think it's very few strip clubs that you walk in there and you don't feel like at any moment something could pop off.
Listen, living in New Jersey now, off of Route 9, there's a lot of real sad strip clubs where I don't feel the danger as much as I feel,
you know what,
the depression. Not that I'm hanging out.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I'm going to retract what I said. I'm completely wrong. I'm mistaking the feeling of overwhelming sadness.
Yes.
To danger.
Yeah, I mean, like, is there a danger of somebody committing suicide in the parking lot?
100%. Of someone not being around in six. Yeah. That's like what it is. Where you go, she might not be around in 6 months.
Yeah. Oh god, yeah. A danger of an overdose. 100%. You know. But this place, like, it always just felt like, you know, dangerous. So one day I'm standing there, and a guy gets a plate busted over his face beside me. Like I'm just standing there.
Like a dinner plate.
Like a dinner plate. Just like smacked over his face.
Okay.
In similar situation, security comes over, looks at the situation, grabs the guy who got assaulted, and threw him out the back door because the guy who smacked it over his plate was a good customer.
That's so fucking funny. Yeah. He's a good tipper. What do you want me to do? Player, that's so funny. How much of a regular am I? Watch this. And he goes, they're going to kick him out.
Yeah. Sir, can we refill your glass?
Dude, I watched that at a Christmas party at Caroline's.
Yeah.
Rich Voss kicked another comic in the ribs. It broke his ribs and they removed him.
Yeah.
Rich Voss kicked him. Yeah. And they're like, we'll get him out of here. And the NYPD just pulled the other guy out. And you were like, holy shit, Rich. It was fucking insane. Yeah. I mean, that, like.
Funny thing is, we had Rich Voss on Fight Stars and he was like, just don't mention the kick. Don't mention
oh,
the
really? Kick. I mention it.
Yeah. It's over. Fuck.
Been 10 years. That's so funny. He's like, can you not bring up the kick? Also, so a room full of loudmouth witnesses.
Yeah.
You got people that want to tell stories.
Exactly.
And you go like, dude, I saw some shit.
Yeah, you're lucky it's not in somebody's act.
But he's Voss, I wouldn't doubt if Voss could fight at all.
Like, oh, no,
Came up in the black scene in the 80s. He was also addicted to drugs for years.
Yeah, no. So what we found is that there was a period of Rich's life where he was doing a lot of karate.
Oh yeah,
and cocaine at the same time.
He was doing blow and karate. I forgot. He was like a karate champion.
Yeah. I don't know if he's a champion, but I don't know. But he competed.
Let's just call him a champion.
Sure.
I love Rich Voss.
Wait, you know what? Let me retract. Anybody that's running around doing karate and cocaine in the 80s is a goddamn champion.
He's like, I can take on Ralph Macchio. Yeah. I want to get in the All-Valley Under-18 karate tournament. You're like, Rich, you're 36.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't care. I'll go out to LA. I'm going to sell my CD after I beat the shit out of him. Dude, that's wild.
It's a little bit of like a boogie night scene where it's like, you know, like remember they're like popping off fireworks, snorting coke? Like him like snorting coke, fucking guys kung fu kicking in a basement?
Yeah, him just breaking boards in fucking Linden, New Jersey. Yeah. And they're like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm training. I'm training. Give me another fucking rail. Have you had anybody on the show that you found out was like a legit badass that you before were like, oh, this is a weird guest? Did you? Because most of the people you book are like pretty tough forward. They're pretty like,
yeah. And
I think with fighting, you kind of have a good idea.
That was kind of it. Like you know, we were usually people are recommended to the podcast.
Yeah, they go, this guy. This guy fucking loves to fight.
Yeah. And then we've had comics who, you know, come on and like, I got my ass kicked all the time. And those are also great episodes because it's like, those are, you don't want to, the sweet spot is a guy who's been in a ton of fights, but is also, you know, a little self-aware and can admit when he got his ass kicked. You know?
Yeah, you're looking for a guy with self-awareness and a 50-50 record to go like, well, I win some and I lose some. Yeah. Let me tell you about
it. You don't want to hear about a guy raining bombs on somebody all the time.
He goes, so then there's six of them. I rip through five of them. I think
I leave one alive.
Well, like, I always love friends of mine that tell fight stories like that where they always tell their losses.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, there's got to be some wins in there. And then they tell a win story and you go like, holy, like Vecchione.
Yeah.
I've known Vecchione. I mean, I lived with him for 10 years.
Yeah.
I would never brag about fighting.
Right.
He wrestled at Penn State.
Right.
Guys, like, if you're a wrestler in college, you're a legitimate tough.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can, these hiccups won't fucking leave me. They started at the beginning of the episode and they're just fucking haunting me. But Vecchione, I was like living with him. We talked about something, and he just randomly brings up this story about he was at Penn State. He went home to Florida. He went out with his sister and his girlfriend, and someone called his girlfriend a pig.
Yeah.
And he, like, calmly drove them home and then just waited outside the bar for these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he told the story on the podcast.
Go listen to that episode.
Yeah.
Go listen to that episode of Fight Stories.
Yeah.
Because he told it to me being like, yeah, and I thought I was going to get my ass kicked, but I ended up, you know, knocking out four of them or something. And
wow.
What the fuck?
Wow.
And he told me and my roommate that story like,
yeah
so, you know, I like thought I was going to lose. And I was like, hold on. You waited outside a bar and then beat the shit out of four dudes.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, but it wasn't like that. It's like, it's just good to know as your roommate.
Yeah. No, it was like
that. Then you start going like, I'll take out the trash. Yeah. You know what? I think it's my turn to clean the toilet. I got to clean the toilets again. Fucking psycho will wait outside
Nobody
for me.
Nobody has ever cleaned the toilets in here.
I asked him, when he told me that story, he was like, I just waited in my car and I waited outside. I go, did you listen to music? And he was like, no. And you're like, that's scarier.
Yeah.
Just heavy nose breathing. Like,
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe it was just like, man, these guys are taking forever. Yeah. I was just thinking of a grocery list.
I am hungry. Like, tapping is to steering wheel. Oh, here they are. It's like, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Losing a fight for comedians is the best case scenario.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing, right? Like, in this business, whatever horror you're going through in your life, you're like, there's always that silver lining.
There's that moment.
You know?
Whenever you're going through some shit,
as
you go like, could be a good bit. Could be a good bit, dude. Yeah. I, on my last special, had this bit about playing porn over a Bluetooth speaker while she was in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it happened. And then I, like, maybe an hour later go, could be a good bit. And she goes, don't. Don't.
Yeah.
And then, like, to her credit, like, 3 weeks later, she goes, you should do that as a bit.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then it just like, you tell it and you go like, oh, fuck, okay. But like, while I was going through it, I was like, fuck,
I know,
fuck. And then stop and you go, could be a bit.
I mean, please. I mean, that's the, like, it's twofold. It's like, how mental am I that, like, it doesn't even take a second to process?
I don't even know her feelings on the subject.
Yeah.
And I go, it's a bit, right? Sociopath? No. I know. Fucking talk to me.
My mom was on life support 2 weeks ago.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, she pulled through.
Oh, okay.
But
I was waiting for you to say that because I don't want to lead and go, and
she goes,
she's dead. And you go, oh, fuck. My mom was on life support.
Okay, now a word from our sponsor.
Yeah. Go to BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com. Yeah. So why was she on life support?
Well, you know, on the sheet in the hallway, I'm sure it said pneumonia, but it might have had something to do with her only drinking vodka for the 6 months leading into it.
Shout out, dude. Yeah. Shout out, alcoholic parents. Yeah. I love when you find out a parent's alcoholic diet.
Oh, God.
My dad's was a liter of rum a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like when he'd pour rum and Cokes, it would be like rum.
One Coke can open in the fridge lasted a while.
I'd be like, I got a full Coke. And it would just be like, dude, but it would be like just for color.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be for taste.
Yeah.
He's just drinking a fucking cup of gas.
Yeah, yeah.
But so she was drinking.
Yeah, and I don't know this. Like 10 years ago, maybe longer, like I went to visit her.
Sure.
And she was blasted at 11 a.m. Like couldn't stand.
And you're also, people should know, you're a reformed alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You actually helped me a lot when I was quitting. Ah. Yeah, when I was like quitting, I would talk to you about it. Yeah. And I would slip. And you said something to me that really fucking helped. One night at the cellar, I was like, I went and drank, and I saw you at the cellar. I just came from Triona's, and you were like, hey, you still on the wagon?
Mend, right?
And I was like, nah, dude, I fucking fell or whatever. And a lot of people I had talked to when that would happen, because I tried a bunch. I tried for like a couple of years to quit. Every time I would slip, they'd go like, no, you were doing so well. And, oh, but you go like, just matter of fact, I remember where it was. It was at the back bar or whatever. You go, yeah, man. This is like a part of it. You're just going to slip. Just get back up and...
Yeah.
And it was like so non-judgmental and so like accurate that helped me the next time, which I then slipped again.
Sure.
But then now, I mean, I hit 12 years like in March
without having
a drink.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like...
I mean, listen, this is a whole new conversation. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's the... I mean, I've been clean, sober, everything for, I guess I'm coming up on 18, 19 years or whatever.
Fucking congrats, dude.
Yeah. I mean, sure.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny that people go like, all right, I can't do a thing that I loved doing.
So my life is so boring.
Yeah, you go, do you know how long 24 hours in a day is? You go, it's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot of time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The earth gave us a lot of time.
I drink enough coffee to give myself an ulcer daily.
Yeah, dude. You're solving cold cases.
Yeah.
So you go up there and you see her and she's drunk at 11 a.m.
Yeah,
she always drink like that your whole life?
Nah, but I mean, like, you know, no, it progressed. I watched it progress. But I open up the cabinet. It's like, I open up the fridge. There's like juice.
Sure.
And then I start opening, no groceries, no nothing. And then it was like bottle of vodka, you know, underneath the sink. She's living alone. Why are you hiding it?
Yeah, what are you? You detailing silverware?
Yeah.
You're not a fancy restaurant. Yeah, yeah. You're fucking... Yeah, yeah, yeah. That crystal's good to go.
Getting the polish. Right?
Yeah.
So that happened. And then her husband like beat her to the grave.
Did you like him? Stepdad?
No. Stepdad, but like... I would have never even called him that, but they were married.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
How long were they married? Did they get married when you were an adult?
Teen, like a late teen.
Sorry, bud. You got to beat the age of 12 to get the stepdad title.
Yeah.
My mom's boyfriend that lived with us, I was like, no, you're forever just Joe.
Yeah.
You're not fucking, I'm not going to call you Papa.
No.
Fuck out of here.
No. But my brother was a little younger, and then my brother beat him to within an inch of his life at one point, like in a family drinking thing. But so she almost drinks herself to death.
Sure.
He comes in, steals the title, and drinks himself to death. And that snaps her out of it for a little while.
Okay.
But
Did she get sober? Did she like,
No.
She just stopped drinking as
she
hard.
Just stopped drinking. And then also like, you know, that was the breadwinner in her life fell apart. So it was like, you know, there goes the
Yeah, you go. Fuck.
The ability.
Yeah.
I think it scared her straight for like a solid 72 hours.
Oh, God damn, dude. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. When you have fucking alcoholics in your family and you see how bad people get, you go like, it goes, it's up and it's down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, back to your point, right? And it was like, yeah, dude, this is a part of it. Like anybody who gets it the first time, I'm like, did you really have a problem?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. You go, you just walked away that fucking easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it really that easy?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So
I can't go in rooms with wood bars without going like, I got to leave.
I don't give a listen. None of that. I miss weed daily.
Yeah. I still smoke weed, so I can't.
Right. You know, California sober. If I knew California sober was the thing when I got sober,
you would have been.
Probably.
Yeah. But also. Know?
But it was so damn judgmental.
Yeah. And it was. I really did at the time, even when I started doing it, people were like, first off, I don't call myself sober. I just don't drink.
That's
just
it.
Just don't drink.
Right.
Like, and, but you're right. There is like a thing of, I give full credit to guys like you, Joe List, the guys I know, Bobby Kelly, that go like pure sober for a very long time. Because you're like, I did it for like 6 months and I was like, I'm going to fucking kill somebody.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if I thought I can get away with it, I would. But it was just problematic for me too. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to smoke, you know, I'm not going to smoke weed anymore. The next morning I'm
rolling a blunt.
Yeah. No, no, roaches. That's like, so through funny. The garbage. Like, ah.
Yeah, this is good. This is good. No, I'm sober though.
Yeah.
It's fucking wild. But you were saying your mom was on life support.
Oh, yeah. Right. So she was on life support. So, you know, I know the tells, right? Like, all of a sudden for like the last 6 months, calling her, the conversations are shorter. She's not calling me so much. She sounds a little bleary. Yeah. Like, talk to my brother. I'm like, hey, what's happening?
Yeah.
And he's like, I think she's drinking a bit.
Is your brother still up there?
Story. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then I get the real story when I go. But anyway, she's on life support. And, you know, all the siblings are in the room. We haven't gathered like that in years.
How many
sisters don't talk? Well, that my mother's responsible for?
Nice. Let's fucking go. Okay. How many does dad put on this earth for you?
And there's another two out there.
Yeah.
You know, we got some from my mom's first marriage, some from my dad's second marriage.
Dude, my dad's been dead for fucking 27 years. I'm still waiting for another family to pop up.
Oh, it's coming.
So I'm going to go, you're Gary's other son. And you go, all right, how much money
have you done in Ancestry?
No, because I'm afraid.
Exactly.
I'm afraid that there's some fucking guy in Oregon's going to be like, hey, dad was a cook for Lumberjacks and he fucking knocked up my mom in Walla Walla in Washington. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
All right. And he goes,
you need a co-host.
Yeah. Hey, bro, I was just wondering, you know, our house is about to get, we're going to get evicted and you're my brother.
Yeah.
And you're like, God, don't put that on me.
Yeah,
dude, alcoholics fucking breed.
Oh, yeah. So it's for the same reason I don't do that. But so the four of us are in the room. And my sister goes, just so you know, mom wants Mary, my daughter, to have her jewelry. I didn't even know there was jewelry. You know, like she's living in a two-room apartment.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And then she goes, you just got to get it out of the pawn shop.
That's so, dude, that's so funny. Dude.
I was like, okay.
You go, that's where, you know, in class when you can't smile, you go, I should go down to the pawn shop.
Yeah, immediately. I was just like gold. I was just like, dude, gold.
I had that moment where my grandma died and we were cleaning out her house and we were like finding stuff and watching my cousins watch me go, this is a bit. This is a bit. And they're like, and then we're like driving back. They're like, are you really going to do that as a joke? And you're like, oh, yeah. And then they came out. My cousin came out and saw me in Columbus.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I was trying to tell the other openers that were there. I was like, ask her. That's how it happened. And she was like, that's exactly how it happened. Yeah, sometimes stuff just happens. And you go, well, this is just a bit. I just have to say this.
Yeah, this is just a gift. This is like, there's nothing.
You're just saying your sister was like, you have to go to the pawn shop.
I know.
You're like, this is hilarious.
I know. And I'm like, okay, there's some things that I'll write after that won't be as funny as that.
You'll have to package tags.
It, you know?
Yeah, it's called structure.
Yeah.
But you go, this is it.
Dude, this is,
it's like if you
were. Here you go. This would be my inheritance in its entirety. It's this bit, you know?
On Iron Chef, that would be the ingredient that you're cooking with.
Yes.
Pawn shop jewelry. And you go, I can make a lot of stuff out of this. That's so crazy. Did anyone catch you laughing or smirking?
No, because I was like immediately processing. And then my brother goes, well, I think I would like to have the wedding band.
That's
and funny. I go, without even thinking about it, I go, for what?
Yeah.
A fucking pinky ring?
I
go to put on your pinky toe? And he goes, no, for a fucking keepsake. And I was like, okay, listen, I'm sorry.
You guys are all wound up. I'm over here writing. Yeah, you guys are fucking wound up. Guys, I thought we had a good sesh going.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, listen, I'm processing everything. I'm sorry.
You know? He goes, no, man, because I'm fucking going to miss my mom. And you go, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to find out where I can run this bit tonight. I want to know if Yuck Yucks is open so I can go in there.
I'm like on the local comedy boards. Yeah, open mic.
Hey, anybody got a show going tonight? Yeah, I know it's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, but she pulled out of the...
Yeah, she's like in rehab now. And
great.
Then,
which, I mean, for people,
physical rehab, not rehab for the other stuff. And that was the other thing.
Like, well, they're gonna have her be doing rehab.
I'm the fucking guy on the phone with the doctors, like, hey, I don't know what's been said here.
Yeah, the honest.
But I'm like, she wasn't getting a lot of nutrients before she got into the hospital.
Wasn't a big fan of bananas.
No potassium.
She has a potassium level pretty low. Vodka levels are off the charts. Yeah. She's got enough vodka.
Yeah, whatever potato is being distilled.
What are in potatoes? And he goes, I don't know. Nothing, not really vitamins.
Yeah. They got thymine in there. There's some thymine. She's good with thymine. Yeah,
she goes, she is. I mean, spread around the hospital. She's got so much. Yeah. The DTs.
Yeah, like, that was it. So she was like, she had already gone through that. So she like went in there with pneumonia, crashed, was on life support. And I was like, yeah, she's going, like, nobody knows that she's like probably going through the
DTs. She's having a threesome with DTs and pneumonia.
Yes.
Yeah.
And nobody knows the other part. So I explained that. And then I'm like, hey, like when she comes, you know, I know she has to be rehabbed. Like, I don't know. She wasn't getting around good at home.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody to take care of her. She lives on her own. Like, I'm giving all this brother, back information, you know?
There ain't nothing better than telling a doctor, this is how it has to feel. I hate snitches. I think snitching is below, I think it's subhuman. But I will admit there has to be a good feeling when you snitch to go like, do you want to know what's really happening? When you get to do that on a family member to a doctor, it feels so good. When my grandma broke her hip and I was like, she ain't going home.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're not going to let her go home. I was like, yes. And I got to tell her, because she was like, I'm going home. And you're like, Nana, you're 96 with a busted hip. You're not going home.
Right. Please stop.
Because no one's going to fucking take care of you.
Right. Well, that was, you know, and that was the conversation. So then I'm like trying to tell everybody, like in my, like, I'm trying to be the voice of reason here.
Sure.
And this is funny because one of my sisters hasn't talked to my mom in years. And I called and I was like, hey, listen, mom's probably going to die. You might want to just come and, you know, say your bit if you want to. But like now you're in the...
Yeah, you have the choice.
Yeah. So she shows up you know, they code her and she's on life support and she's also a nurse. And
oh, your sister is.
Yeah. And so I'm like,
she takes out one of the tubes. She goes, you know what? Fuck this bitch. I've been mad.
Oh, shit. You're close.
Really? No, really?
Oh. So I'm like, can you just talk to the doctor? So, and then like break it down for me? Cause you have like,
you can speak the language.
You speak the language.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I told the nurse, you know, based on mom's condition that, you know, do not resuscitate. And I'm like, hey, listen, I'm not saying you're wrong here, but like, I don't think you can make the call.
That's so funny. The kid that's mad at the parent comes in and goes, do not resuscitate. In fact, I'd probably say pull it now. Yeah. Pull it right out. And they go, no, she's going to pull through. Breathing. They go, no, I know, but I've seen this. At my hospital, this happens all the time. We got to pull. That's a zombie. Like, just making shit up. That's the Living Dead. Yeah. I've seen the Living Dead. Yeah. That's the Living Dead.
Fuck
pull
you,
it.
Mom.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Hey, what's your little princess up to now? Yeah. Go see your husband. I didn't even like him.
Yeah.
Fuck you and fuck Michelle.
Yeah, dude, there really is. There was I found out a thing with my grandma, which I've learned to forgive her, but I found out that she was kind of hustling me for money.
Yeah.
And I found that out right before the admittance into the hospital where they're like, do you want to do a resuscitate? I go, no. I'm like looking at how much money she took from me. I go, no, no. In fact, let her know it was her sweet Danny that did this. But you do have that feeling because you're like, I get where your sister's coming from.
And DNR is Dan's not resuscitating.
Dan's not gonna. It's a DNG. It ain't a DNR. It's a Dan's not gonna. Yeah, because, I mean, in that situation, especially when there's like a lot of drama in a family and you're in a very intense, you know, at the ICU and you're like, all your emotions are coming up. Comics always are the ones that go like, like something happens and you go, what? And you go, I just thought of a joke. I know it's fucking bad.
Oh, 100%. Funeral in the funeral pews,
dude,
the worst.
Okay. I'm glad I could tell somebody this. One of my best friend's dad's died. His dad died. I loved his dad.
Yeah.
His dad, truly, when I tell you, one of the only grown men to support me.
Yeah.
Growing up, being I loved, dude. I would, he would come out to New York. I would see him all the time. Loved him. He passed away. I was legitimately crying. It was the first funeral I legitimately cried at.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
How old are you at the time?
This is a week ago.
Oh, shit.
This is fucking 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was like 19. I'm going to miss you, Big Steve.
Brother, I've been in therapy 20 years, and it's just starting to take. But it was like...
the first time you've cried at a
meeting. Yeah, I don't know why. I was like,
Jesus.
Legitimately like feeling this, right?
Yeah.
And then they were having different... You know, my friend has a big Irish family. So yeah, a lot of cousins, a lot of uncles or whatever. Sure. And for some reason in my head, I that fucking voice, that comic voice in my head goes, it would be so funny if Frank's like 10-year-old great niece, like in my head, I had, and this is strictly in my head.
Yeah.
At the funeral, I had this idea of the priest going, now Frank's great niece would like to do a TikTok dance. And her going like, and this is all in my head during the funeral. And I start like almost laughing out loud because I just think of a little kid going. It's just this fucking thing. Like, I don't know. But I had to like clamp down. I had to be like, stop it.
Yeah.
Because I went from crying to laughing like a fucking psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then somebody's like, I just remembered a memory.
Yeah,
Frank.
Yeah.
I just remember. Sorry. I remember the good times. Like,
Good dance, Aubrey.
Yeah.
She's like,
Yeah.
It is so fucking.
That's not even something you can explain to somebody quickly either. No, like, hey, bro, imagine the TikTok.
But by the way, I did later. My best friend Danny, we're like going there. I go, dude, I almost laughed in the funeral because I thought, like, what if someone got up and got a TikTok? And even he went, okay. We were like, everything ever happened for him? And he goes, okay, dude. This is what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, it was funny. It was funny in my head.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is like getting your siblings around with a mom that has, you know, caused some problems for them.
Yeah.
You really see how people react. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It was the nurse sister of yours that's like,
oh, yeah.
I got this. Pulls the chart with the red markers.
Right, goes, and now,
we ain't doing that. We ain't doing that. We ain't doing
and
that.
And now she's coming out of it. So she's going to be like, oh, you know, Jackie tried to kill you. Like, that's coming. If it hasn't happened already, conversation is coming.
We might need to do a follow-up episode in like 6 months. We'll bring Tyler back.
Punch in a FaceTime.
Yeah. We go, Tyler, you finally got in. And I just talked to you about your family. And Tyler's like, why am I here? Dude, that's so funny. Because when people... like get in those situations. All families have drama.
Yes.
And then like the funniest part is seeing how people react to it.
Yeah.
Because even if you're like well adjusted and you're like, this is sad, but I kind of understand. Then you just see your sister coming in hot. You're kind of like, this is hilarious.
Yeah. And then also it's like, all families go through that. I don't care how successful you are.
Everyone does.
You've got an alcoholic junkie brother, cousin, somebody?
You're going through it.
They're going through it.
By the way, human, I think what the internet's really fucked up humans doing is us all understanding that everybody goes through it.
Right.
Because everyone looks like, these people are good at looking like they're on vacation all the time.
100%.
And they have all this money and you're like, you have no fucking clue.
I was actually thinking about like a fact check app. Because you know how everything's always fucking listening.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, and then like Elon Musk fact checks on Twitter now.
Yeah.
Like just like a fact check, like the pictures notes? On Instagram. Yeah, community notes on Instagram.
Be fucking fantastic.
Yeah, like, oh, actually they were fighting at the diner 6 minutes before this picture was taken.
This vacation was 7 months ago.
Yeah.
They haven't spoke for two.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, I fucking knew
Thank you. They have not Thank had sex in 18 months.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah, because like, we're not having kids. It's just a decision we had.
Okay.
Just, I'm on the road.
Saves me from asking.
What's that? Yeah. But it's the ones, there are people that get like offended because you're not.
Right.
And they'll go like, so you guys aren't having kids. And you go, no. And we're like absolutely fine with it. Yeah. We have total aunt and uncle energy.
Yeah.
We love it. That's like what we're going to do. And then they think they get you with this. So who's going to take care of you when you're old? The same Jamaican nurses that are going to take care of you.
Yeah.
Dipshit.
Yeah.
My fucking grandma had two kids. It was a Filipino nurse taking care of her in Sacramento. It wasn't me.
Yeah,
I wasn't wiping her ass. Yeah, going
interjected
like,
by 6 minute visits.
Yeah, that's it. There's no one's going to visit me.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Right.
I'll be on some fucking drug that's new.
Just buddy.
Watching old fucking reruns of TV shows I grew up on and being like, I'm watching Full House. Get out of my way. Yeah,
waiting to be uploaded into something.
Yeah, put my fucking consciousness into whatever new computer you have.
Yeah, yeah.
Peace.
Yeah.
But like when people, like, people do. They think like, oh, if I do this, this, and this, then none of the bad shit will happen. And you're like, it's human nature. You're going to catch, everyone catches.
Oh, yeah. Them. Yeah. Everybody catches strays.
It's like fights. Everyone, you're going to be in a situation where someone wants to fight you once in your life. Just get through it.
Yeah.
You can't go through this life not having anyone wanting to fight you. Because a lot of times those are psychos that like bend.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a temper. That also feels good, is when you realize other people have tempers. Other people fucking flare up in traffic and do fucking stupid shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the human, like, that's the human condition.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, I hate to say it, but everybody's a little bit racist. It's okay. It's a part of being human, dude, man.
It's just, because what it is it's just other. Yeah. Everyone has a defensive reaction to other.
Right.
It's just like, it is a form of stupidity because you don't know that
of
person.
Course. Of course.
That's why it's always like, you know, that like the most hacky joke in New York City stand-up is like, a racist in New York, I'd be too tired. And right. You're like, but that is a point of New York City. You're living around Dominicans and, you know, you're in Canada. You wouldn't have known anything about the DR. But now that you did 6 years at Sin City,
you go down to
Santo Domingo and you fucking, they're like, is John Part Dominican? And you're like, nah, dude, just knows a bunch from Sin City. But that's what it is.
I don't know, these hips don't lie.
Yeah. Right. Like being around it, you're like, oh, fuck. That's like,
I mean, buddy, I was from Canada. Like, you know, this was a joke on an album, but it was like literally, I couldn't point to Puerto Rico on a map.
Yeah.
Until I was 28 and I moved here and I was like, oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and then neat. Now you know their cuisine so well that you know if it's like, you're like, this isn't even good. Yeah. It's like, these plantanos suck. Yeah. And they're like, who is this fucking whale? Yeah. And you're like, this white boy knows that these are bad fucking plantanos.
Yeah. It's 10 years of living above a bodega.
Yeah. Brother, I can tell you when a cat's going after a rat. Or he's going after some fucking food.
Yeah.
But dude, you've always been one of my favorite guys to watch because I genuinely think, especially with your stand-up, you're very earnest. And I always really liked when we do those shows in Brooklyn and shit.
Oh, yeah.
You were like a guy, if you were in the room and I felt like a joke was hacky, I'd be like, fucking John's watching it. I remember Bar 4.
Yeah.
One time I did like a joke that like worked, but I was not proud of it.
Yeah.
And you went, well, that went well. And I went, it just immediately was like, I know he thinks I'm a fucking hack because of that joke. But Fight Stories is great. I've been on it. You. I did an episode.
Yeah.
You should go listen to these episodes.
Yes,
check out John and Tyler's podcast, Fight Stories. Go download it, watch an episode, and don't get into a fight.
Yeah, try to avoid it.
Try to avoid it. But if you do get into one and it's good enough, reach out to John.
Yeah, also DM us immediately.
And if you know anyone that's been on a famous fight story online, reach out to John.
Yeah, please. And if you know any local legends, like the toughest guy in your town, those guys we love.
David Clark. I got to get you David Clark's number.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
He's a guy I grew up with that like legitimately, to this day, I'm in awe.
Yeah.
When we were 13, he beat up 2 16-year-olds.
Yes.
And then when we were like 16, he beat up a grown man outside of a 7-Eleven because the guy was road rage.
Yeah.
The guy pulled over and he was like in a suit or whatever. And then David got out and just absolutely fucking manhandled.
And housed him?
Yeah. And then came to my house.
Yeah.
Because that's where we smoked weed.
Yeah.
And he came to my house and he's like, I just beat up like a man in a suit. He's like showing me his hands. I was like, Jesus Christ. He's like, yeah, he thought I was a kid.
You
and
want
I got
some
out.
Sunny D?
My mom's like, dinner will be ready in an hour. Yeah. My mom loved David.
Yeah.
But he was a fucking wild boy.
That's it. Like the David Clarks of the world.
Yeah, dude. David Clark. And David, if you're watching this, DM me. I follow you on Instagram. Fucker.
Yeah,
I want to know if you're still doing all right. He was a bad motherfucker. He went to military school.
Yeah.
He was so bad he got sent to military school. At military school, someone snuck into his room while he was sleeping and took a master lock and started fucking hitting him in the head. He got up and made it a fight. I don't know if he won, but he was like, I got up and I made it a fucking fight.
Yeah, he started at a deficit.
Yeah. Imagine being woke up by being hit and then being like, I'd be out of it. I'd be like, why are you doing this? And David's
Patrick.
And then David was like, I got this.
Yeah.
God, I got to get him on your podcast.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'm going to reach out.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. Fight Stories. At John Moses. Follow him.